The following message is brought to you by Christian Sermons Online, broadcasting Christ-centered messages around the world 24 hours a day. Check us out at ChristianSermonsOnline.com.
Call now for your free pair of Cross and Dove pins. They're a great reminder to you and others of the redemption of the cross and the power of the Spirit. For your free pins, call 504-768-7000 now.
Jimmy Swaggart Ministries has been called to evangelize the world. We believe that this is the heart of God who has provided this ministry with the facilities to reach millions in their own language.
And in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, it's
going to be with Schwertern und Lanzen.
Kashi dendo shato shite hara no tatsu koto wa.
Estava pondo em risco sua vida e tudo que tinha.
Я понимаю, что миллионы смотрящие эту программу по телевизору.
Porque él es la verdad.
Que péché, il serait frappé sur le champ.
Io credo che molte migliaia di voi telespettatori sono
venuti. Child Care Ministries is another evangelistic arm of Jimmy Swaggart Ministries. This team of dedicated men and women is reaching out to the hungry and the hurting with food, clothing, and medical care. We sincerely thank our friends and partners for standing with this ministry and taking the responsibility to carry out the great commission of the Lord Jesus Christ to preach the gospel to every creature. Join us now at Family Worship Center in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, as our camp meeting service begins.
And my answer.
There are joys up the road that have never yet been told. There's a mansion awaiting me in that land by faith I see. Well, I'm gonna keep on working till it comes.
To be preached, there are souls to be the Lord. Hallelujah to the Christ.
Didn't that bless you? My, my, my. Joe, you're the greatest horn blower I've ever heard in my life. Hallelujah. That's pretty good, and he didn't even know the song.
And now, evangelist Jimmy Swaggart uses Luke chapter 22, verses 39 through 46 for the scriptural foundation of today's message, the place, the price, and the peace.
These are the waning hours of Jesus' earthly sojourn. That which was planned before the foundation of this planet called Earth is now coming to a conclusion. It is an act of love that we cannot begin to comprehend. And I am not certain that we will ever know. The Bible said he came out and went, 39th verse, as he was wont or accustomed to doing, to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. Being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he rose up from prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow. And he said unto them, why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest you enter into temptation. And I want to use for a subject tonight the place of surrender, the price of surrender, and the peace of surrender. How thrilled and thankful we are to have you with us today. And before we go any further, I want you to stay glued to that set, and I want you to watch this.
Only recently in the Soviet Union have public buildings been made available for evangelistic purposes. Elaborate planning and public advertising drew 14,000 people to two services in this ice hockey arena in Riga, Latvia. Thousands were turned away. What happened here will change not only the city, but the country as well. Through the singing and testimonies of young people, the prayers of spirit-filled men, the preaching of the gospel, and the power of the Holy Spirit, all of the Soviet Union was impacted by a few bold men and women willing to do what was necessary to bring Jesus Christ to the Soviet Union.
Now, some of you may ask, well, Brother Swigert, what was that? Well, that was a revival crusade conducted in Latvia, in the capital city of Latvia, and the city's name is...
Riga.
Is Riga. I keep forgetting that. And the reason they conducted it is because about 2 years ago, we put the telecast on there. We were able to get it on through a series of miracles translated into Russian. And it has swept that entire area. And just with one of the local preachers, and they really, if you'll notice that clip that you saw, they conducted it exactly as we conduct our crusade services, because that's all they knew to do. They didn't know anything else to do. And God moved in such a tremendous way. And I'm believing over every place, every city that the telecast goes into. And starting October the 7th, we began. It covers about 75 million people in Western Russia, including Estonia, Latvia, and Lithuania, and even into Eastern Europe, Bulgaria, and the Ukraine. We don't cover Moscow yet, but it's coming. And we're believing there is going to be a move of God of unprecedented proportions. And what we just saw you shows you what can happen and what does happen and what is happening. Now, we need some help. We're having to pay for this. Most all the countries we're on, we don't have to pay for the airtime, but we are having to pay for this. But Jim reminded me just before we came on the air, $100 will reach, through all of our telecast everywhere, will reach over 1 million people. Now you think of what I'm telling you. That's airtime, administration, production cost, everything. $100 will reach about 1 million people. That's staggering. Now, I've got to have your help for the Soviet Union. Look what God hath wrought. And I'm going to ask you to go to the phone right now, 504-768-7000, and say, Brother Swigert,
I want to help you stay on the air there, translated into Russian in the Soviet Union. I want to be a part of this. And whatever you can send, I'm going to leave the amount up to you. But we will send you back by return mail this 6-tape series, about 8 hours of teaching the Soviet Union, Israel, and Iraq in Bible prophecy. It's what's going on over there right now, and this will help you to understand it biblically, I think, even more. Now, folk, we need this help. Write a call, but we need it. Look what God is doing and how we thank Him for it.
We pray you've already helped in reaching the Soviet Union with the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you haven't, now is the time to do your very best, both prayerfully and financially. For any amount sent, you'll receive Brother Swaggart's new 6-tape series entitled The Soviet Union, Israel, and Iraq in Bible Prophecy. Call or write today.
Refuel the fire of Pentecost in your life at Thanksgiving Camp Meeting, November 21st through the 25th.
He came to bring light out of darkness. He came to set you free. And greater is He that is in me than he that's in the world. Shout yes!
There's limited housing in the JSBC dorms, so call or write today for more information on Thanksgiving Camp Meeting.
And now we return to Camp Meeting at Family Worship Center for today's message, The Place, The Price, and The Peace.
Perhaps one of the greatest books ever written was Pilgrim's Progress. That God anointed John Bunyan to write that book, I think, is without question. He was arrested by authorities, placed in prison in Bedford, England, for his stand for the cause of Christ. He was placed there by religious authorities. And they told him, they said, Bunyan, if you will just promise us that you will cease and desist in your preaching, in your proclamations that the just shall live by faith, you can walk out of this jail cell and there will be no more difficulties that you will have to face from the authorities. Some weeks later, they brought in his wife and little daughter. She was just a beautiful little tyke, not able to comprehend or understand what her dad was going through. She climbed on his knee in that dungeon in Bedford, England. And she asked him, Papa, why do you stay here? Why don't you come home? He turned his face from her that she might not see the tears and stifled the sob that was in his throat and kissed her and said, Honey, Papa hopefully will be home soon. When his wife and little baby girl walked out of that jail cell, the authorities came in. They had been moved themselves by what they had witnessed. And one paced the jail cell and said, Bunyan, we are not unreasonable men. All we are asking you to do is to cease your preaching. Stop your preaching. If you will promise us you will stop, we'll let you out now and you can catch your wife and baby before they are out of this building. And history records that John Bunyan stood up and said, "Gentlemen, if you let me out of Bedford jail today, I'll be preaching in Bedford Square tomorrow." We tend to forget it, but Christianity was birthed in blood. It has been bathed in blood all the way from Pentecost until now. The freedom that you enjoy today did not come lightly. It came at tremendous price. The freedom that we have in this nation is not because of political giants or statesmen, but it is because of men that sought freedom to worship God. That is the foundation of this republic. A freedom to worship God. It was purchased at great price. And I'm afraid that we tonight are selling it cheap. I want to take you tonight to Gethsemane. Somehow I want, as far as a poor human can, I want to go into the very heart of God as far as we can go and as much as we know. And we cannot go there by intellect, by knowledge. We can only go there by the root of the cross. After Jesus and his disciples had partaken of the final supper, they sang a hymn. It was probably one of the Psalms, maybe the 118th Psalm. And then, with disciples not understanding what was about to happen, but that which the prophets had prophesied about was about to come to pass. And it was about midnight when they left the room where the Last Supper had been imbibed, and they go to a place called Gethsemane. The meaning of the word is oil press. Somewhere in the past, under the kings, maybe even as far back as the judges, somebody on that hill called Olivet, named after the growth of olive trees, had built an olive or an oil press where the olives would be crushed and the oil from the oil olive would flow out, and the name was derived from oil press Gethsemane. It was an apt description, no doubt planned by the Father so long, long ago, to where the battle of the ages would be fought. This moment is even more pregnant with potential than Calvary. Satan knew if he lost the battle at Gethsemane, that he would have lost it altogether. The efforts at Calvary were just a half-hearted attempt at Gethsemane. The full brunt of hellish anger was thrust against the Lord Jesus Christ. If hell could stop him here, and hell had its greatest opportunity, because Jesus Christ would face him as a man, albeit full of the Holy Ghost, but as a man. But it would be different than the 40 days and 40 nights of temptation in the wilderness. This would be the pregnant moment, because Jesus was about to become the sin offering. The punishment of a physical frame is one thing, but the punishment of the spirit, the hurt of the spirit, is the greatest pain of all. They tell us that even up until the 1700s, that 8 of those olive trees that were there when Jesus went with his disciples were still there. Men that knew said they were over 2,000 years old. That the Master had knelt somewhere close to. He takes all of his disciples with him, but 3 of them, Peter, James, and John, he takes closer in than he did the others. It was something about this that did something to me that I've never gotten over. I will not go into detail, but allow me to be personal for a moment. Jesus asking these disciples, it was midnight, and it was midnight for the world. It was midnight for the whole of humanity. It was midnight for every mother's son that would ever be born. For if the Son of God failed, you say he could not fail. Tell the devil that. Satan, knowing that he had stripped himself of deity, but yet never ceasing to be deity, but he would not use the powers of deity, had his greatest moment to stop the plan of God for the human race. He had stopped the first Adam, and he would stop the second Adam. And Jesus asked Peter, James, and John, could you not watch with me 1 hour? I say it with such lack of pathos. But in that moment, the Son of God needed them. He needed the big fisherman. He needed John that said, I handled him. We need each other. This is a family. It is a body. I need you. I need your love. I need your prayers. I need your kindness. I need your helping hand. You need me. I need you. And Jesus told them. Mark records it perhaps better than Luke did. More than likely, Peter told Mark firsthand what had happened. He said, "You watch and you pray," Jesus said, "lest you enter into temptation. For the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." In this horrible Gethsemane moment, if I can say it, if I can somehow verbalize what was done there. The flesh, the spirit is willing, the flesh is weak. God said in Genesis, he said, the flesh is corrupt. All flesh is corrupt before me. The sixth chapter of Genesis. This is man's weakest point, the flesh. It is corrupt. Even after you're saved and born again, washed in the blood, the flesh is still corrupt. You do not reach God with the flesh. You can't reach God with the flesh. He will not glory in the flesh. You can only reach him with the spirit. The flesh cannot reach him. Only the spirit. They that worship must worship in spirit. For only they that worship in spirit and only that which is in spirit is truth. Hallelujah. We Pentecostals think sometimes we know how to worship. And I am the leading cheerleader. But worship is not loudness. It is not emotionalism. It is not an exhibition of the flesh. The reason we do these things is because, at least we're supposed to do it, our spirit gets so happy that it must express itself in the flesh. Sometimes, many times, you can sit and never breathe a word and worship. You're worshiping in spirit. Some of you on the job with people all around you, they never see your lips move. But inside, there is a worship going up before God. Hallelujah to the Lamb. As you worship Him in your spirit. It is in this area. Jesus said it twice at the beginning of the Passion and at the ending of it. He said, "Pray that you enter not into temptation." When Satan attacks, he does so in the flesh. And there is no way, if Jesus had not succeeded and part of his Gethsemane experience was to help us overcome in the flesh. That was part of it. The disciples were there. They were asleep. They were like drugged men. It was not that they didn't care. They were literally drugged. The grief Their sleep was from grief. It was not a normal sleep. They were literally stricken with grief. Their world was coming apart and their heart was breaking and the flesh could not stand it. Let me tell you this. The only reason you're here tonight or in any place worshiping God, you would never be able to overcome the powers of darkness. And there are some of you in this room that Satan will devise an attack of hell against you. He is doing it at this moment. That within the flesh, it is not possible for you to overcome it. You will not be able to, with all of your willpower, with all of your strength, you cannot do it yourself. I'm not saying it well, because we think I have the Holy Ghost and I can do anything. The Holy Spirit can, but you can't. But the battle that Jesus won in Gethsemane brought the tempters back and instilled you with the Spirit of God. That victory can be yours no matter what hell brings your way. If you rely on what Jesus did for you. He won that battle in Gethsemane. One of our buildings here is named after one of the greatest missionaries that ever lived, Victor Plymeyer. Some months ago, Jim Woolsey went into Tibet. Victor Plymeyer spent most of his life in Tibet. Jim went in there. The most forbidden, inaccessible country in the world, to try to get the telecast on. And it was aired once or twice or whatever. Victor Plymeyer went there, and it's terrible now, but then Reader's Digest years ago carried an account of Tibet. It told of the operation of demon spirits so strong that human bodies would levitate in midair, so strong that rocks without any, I mean, this didn't come from a, this came from Reader's Digest that had no religious axe to grind, that rocks would just be thrown through the air without any human being picking them up. Think of that. Demon spirits, the demon powers of hell, so taken over that country and those people, and into that, Victor Plymeyer and his wife and little boy went. Miracles. He saw miracles of staggering proportion. God would wake him up in the night and say, get up and move. And a bandit horde would hit the camp and kill everything there. But he would be spared because the Holy Spirit would say, move. Not one time like that, but scores of times like that. Trying to witness, trying to build a work for God. I cannot stand here and tell you that he built great churches. He built no church. His converts numbered only a handful that were bought at such a price. On January the 7th, about January the 10th, 1927, smallpox hit the area that he was in. He and his wife saw his little boy, their little boy, come down with fever. And after a few days, they saw the black spots come out on him, and they knew it was smallpox. They pleaded and they cried to God in that lonely, lonely country. Alone, alone, alone. They would cry to God for that baby's life. And that little six-year-old boy named John would ask his daddy, he would say, "Papa, tell me another story of Jesus." And on January the 17th, in his daddy's arms, he asked one more time, "Tell me about Jesus." And then he said, "Papa, I see Jesus, and he's coming for me, and the pain is gone." And he laid his head on his daddy's shoulder and went home to be with Jesus. They couldn't even buy a piece of ground 3 feet wide to bury him in. They were called foreign devils. He laid a little makeshift casket by the side of the little house they were living in. And then his wife came down with smallpox. And he pleaded, and he said sometimes there would be great victory, and the victory of God would flow through them. But on January the 25th, 1927, she started to sing the song, "The anchor holds and grips the solid rock," and slipped home to be with Jesus. He said, "The blackest moment, I'm talking about Gethsemane, the place, and when Jesus was come to the place, the blackness of hell came over him." You say, God delivered him from bandits, God performed miracles, God did this. Why didn't God heal that little boy? Why didn't God heal that wife? A Chinese on the side of a lonely mountain gave him a little plot of ground, and with a pick by himself, he dug a hole in the ground. I have a picture of it in my library at home, of two caskets there, one long and one short. I looked at it this afternoon and I broke and I said, "God, I don't know what Christianity is. My God, we don't know what it is. Christianity in America is money, big cars, beautiful buildings, fine clothes, diamond rings. Are you listening to me? And a world is going to hell. And a world is dying lost. And a world is dying without God." I sat there and I sobbed and I said, "God, what am I?" Victor Plomeyer said, "I've never felt the blackness as I felt it." dug a hole in frozen tundra, shoveled it on the little makeshift clapboard caskets of his little baby son and his wife. Nobody to put an arm around him. Nobody to say, we love you. Went back to that lonely room. And when Jesus came to the place, every Christian in this world, we have accepted Jesus as our Savior, but so many of us have not made Him Lord. And I want to tell you this. This world will never be touched. It will never be reached until we've had our Gethsemane. We come to the place, and when He had come to the place, I don't know where that place is for you. I don't know where that Gethsemane is for you. But it will culminate in your heart. What are we serving Him for what we can get out of it? And when He was come to the place, and Luke said He knelt down and prayed, and He did to start with, but Mark says, and in the Greek it says He would get up and fall back down, get up and fall back down, get up and fall back down. I want to talk about the price of surrender. The place of surrender, the price of surrender. He said, if it be possible, remove this cup from me. I believe it was Matthew that said, he said, Abba, Father. In this we can see the potential of prayer. He's asking something of God, and I'll tell you in a moment, or try to, why He asked Him, remove this cup from me. Why did He use that terminology? In that Eastern Oriental culture, when a guest came to a home, the host would give him a cup of wine. And the cup, if it had the best of the vineyard, it meant, and the guest knew what it meant that the host felt this was a treasured guest. If the wine was so-so, the guest also understood that. If the host was wealthy and the cup was just so-so, it was an insult. Jesus was saying to the Father, this cup you have given me, it has within it the dregs.
Join us next week for Brother Swaggart's conclusion of The Place, the Price, and the Peace.
He's preparing me by teaching me the word of the Lord, instructing me in the how to reach the lost.
I've learned the word of God here at JSBC.
That's one of the major things that I've learned at JSBC. Be available. Leave yourself available at the disposal of the Holy Spirit, and you can do great exploits for the Lord Jesus Christ.
We'd like you to have a set of Cross and Dove lapel pins as our gift to you. They can be yours simply by calling today, 504-768-7000. Refuel the fire of Pentecost in your life at Thanksgiving Camp Meeting, November 21st through the 25th.
He came to bring light out of darkness. He came to set you free. And greater is He that is in me than he that's in the world. Shout yeah!
There's limited housing in the JSBC dorms, so call or write today for more information on Thanksgiving Camp Meeting. The preceding program was sponsored by the Jimmy Swaggart Ministries. We'd like you to have a set of Cross and Dove lapel pins as our gift to you. They can be yours simply by calling today, 504-768-7000. Jimmy Swaggart Ministries has been called to evangelize the world. We believe that this is the heart of God, who has provided this ministry with the facilities to reach millions in their own language.
And in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, it's
going to be Schwerten und Lanzen.
Schaschi dendo satoste harano tatsukoto wa.
Estava pondo em risco sua vida e tudo que tinha.
Я понимаю, что миллионы смотрящие эту программу по телевизору.
爱你们，不管你是火酒鬼，他爱你。
Porque él es la verdad.
Que péché, il serait frappé sur le champ.
Io credo che molte migliaia di voi telespettatori sono
venuti. Child Care Ministries is another evangelistic arm of Jimmy Swaggart Ministries. This team of dedicated men and women is reaching out to the hungry and the hurting with food, clothing, and medical care. We sincerely thank our friends and partners for standing with this ministry and taking the responsibility to carry out the great commission of the Lord Jesus Christ, to preach the gospel to every creature. Join us now for camp meeting at Family Worship Center in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, as our service begins.
With an everlasting peace of rest, glory is all I really need.
That holy anointing. Well, glory. Sing it now. Well, glory. Why don't you clap your hands unto the Lord? Why don't you praise His name? Why don't you worship Him? I want that anointing.
Anointing, only God gives out. It will give you peace and joy within, and make you want to shout. I want that holy anointing going deep inside of me. I want that holy anointing Isaiah spoke about. That precious anointing, only God gives out. It will give you peace and joy within, and make you want to shout. I want that holy.
Holy anointing,
I want that.
Holy anointing,
Lord,
the pathway seems narrow as he leads me on. I walk in his shadow. My fears are all gone. My spirit goes stronger each moment, each day. I'm following Jesus. Yes, I am. Each step of the way. Oh, I'm following Jesus. Step at a time. I live for the moment in his love divine. Why think of tomorrow? Just live for today. I'm following Jesus. Each step one more time. I'm following Jesus. Each step of the step at a time. Well, I live for the moment in his love divine. Why think of tomorrow? Just live for today. I'm fine. Father, the Holy.
Last week, in part one, Brother Swaggart used Luke chapter 22, verses 39 to 46 as his scriptural foundation for the message entitled, The Place, The Price, and The Peace.
The Bible said he came out and went, 39th verse, as he was wont or accustomed to doing, to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, Pray that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he rose up from prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow. And he said unto them, Why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest you enter into temptation. And I want to use for a subject tonight the place of surrender, the price of surrender, and the peace of surrender.
I'm holding in my hand a 6-tape series about 8 hours of teaching called The Soviet Union, Israel, and Iraq in Bible Prophecy. Christians everywhere are wanting to know what is happening in the Middle East and how does it pertain to Bible prophecy, if at all, and it certainly does, and what about the Soviet Union and so forth. I want to give you this. Yes, I said give it to you. But first, I want you to see this.
Only recently in the Soviet Union have public buildings been made available for evangelistic purposes. Elaborate planning and public advertising drew 14,000 people to 2 services in this ice hockey arena in Riga, Latvia. Thousands were turned away. What happened here will change not only the city, but the country as well. Through the singing and testimonies of young people, the prayers of spirit-filled men, the preaching of the gospel and the power of the Holy Spirit. All of the Soviet Union was impacted by a few bold men and women willing to do what was necessary to bring Jesus Christ to the Soviet Union.
Now, some of you may ask, well, Brother Swaggart, what is that that I've just seen? What that you have just seen is, I think, one of the greatest miracles that has happened in the 20th century. That came from Latvia. It came from the capital city of Latvia. We've been on television there about 2 years. A God has used the telecast to touch and stir that part of the world in a tremendous way. And without any special preacher, they really didn't even know how to conduct a service. But they modeled it after the telecast, rented the ice arena, conducted 2 services in it, packed it to capacity both times with over 14,000 people each time and turned thousands away, as you heard the man say. That is because of the telecast. The moment the telecast goes on, people start to get saved. It's just that simple, because that's what God does to His Word. Now, we've now gone on in most of Western Russia, as I said, covering about 75 million people. And I've got to have your help. I cannot do it by myself. Us remaining there, translated, of course, into Russian, is dependent upon you, and I believe that God has touched you. But this is the last time that I will mention it for just a while. And I want to give you this, as I said, the Soviet Union, Israel, and Iraq in Bible prophecy. It's 6 tapes, about 8 hours of teaching. As our gift to you, if you will pick up the telephone right now, 504-768-7000, or write, you can see the address on the screen, and say, Brother Swaggart, or really to one of our people that will answer the phone, or whomever will get the letter here at the offices, I want to be a part of this. I believe it's one of the greatest miracles of the 20th century, and I want to be a part of it. Incidentally, this is the first telecast, to my knowledge, portraying the gospel in the Soviet Union on a weekly basis. Think of what we're saying. Now listen, of all the programming we're on, $100 will reach over 1 million people. Think of what I'm saying. I'm going to wait for that call, that letter. Do the best you can. We'll get it right on back to you, whatever your gift.
At most colleges, students are taught psychology, sociology, and philosophy. At Jimmy Swaggart Bible College and Seminary, students are taught the Bible. They're prepared for ministry through biblically based training and practical hands-on experience. So if you want to find out the world's answers, then go to another school. But if you want to get to know God and His answers, then come to JSBC&S. There's no better place to prepare for a life of ministry. And now, from Camp Meeting, the conclusion of The Place, The Price, and The Peace.
I want to talk about the price of surrender. The place of surrender, the price of surrender. He said, if it be possible, remove this cup from me. Why did he use that terminology? In that Eastern Oriental culture, when a guest came to a home, the host would give him a cup of wine. And the cup, if it had the best of the vineyard, it meant, and the guest knew what it meant that the host felt this was a treasured guest. If the wine was so-so, the guest also understood that. If the host was wealthy and the cup was just so-so, it was an insult. Jesus was saying to the Father, this cup you have given me, it has within it the dregs. This cup that I must drink, it has within it, what is in it? What caused him to shrink back from it? In it was the sin offering. He would become the sin offering. Theologically, what does that mean? Who cares what it means theologically? In our heart, it means that every lamb that had been offered through all the hundreds of years and had been a type of the sin offering that was to come was now the sin offering. Whenever the sinner, we don't like that word, do we? Whenever the sinner would come with his lamb
and he would walk in the gate, and he would stand over by the side of the brazen altar. The priest would hand him a razor sharp knife, and one priest would hold the little animal, and the sinner would take the lamb's head and its ears and pull its throat back. And he would take the razor sharp knife and cut the jugular. He had to do it. The priest couldn't do it because it was his sin. What am I telling you? I'm telling you, Jesus had no sin. Jesus had no sin. He was the perfect sin offering, without spot, without blemish. And he would bear every sin that every human being had ever committed or would ever commit. Let me tell you something that is the greatest news in the world. And some of you will jerk when I say it. Every human being in this world, the junkies down on the street corner, those that commit the horror of incest, the murderers and the rapists, the drunks and the druggies, every off-scaring and flotsam of humanity at this moment is saved if they will only accept it. Glory to God! 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 Hambasikeli Hamdarababasay. Do you understand? It's not something that's got to be done, hope to be done, shall be done. It is done. Done, 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 done. Glory to God. Hell, it's done. Demons, it's done. And the book says, whosoever will, let him come and drink of the water of life freely. You're a fool if you tell them, come to my church and be saved. Your church couldn't save the hind leg of a fly. You're a fool if you tell them, preacher, come shake my hand and you will be saved. Your hand has no nail scars in it. Glory, hallelujah. But I'm here to tell you, the Savior of the world is not the Pope or Buddha or Mohammed or Karl Marx, but it is Jesus Christ. Watching me by television, you sat in that room and the furniture's gone. You've sold it for drugs. And you look at that little TV set and you look at the needle marks on your arms. There is no power on earth that can set you free. Washington can spend $1 trillion, but it won't set you free. But right there in that room, if you'll say yes to Jesus Christ, He has paid the price for your sin, and He will set you free. That's the reason you came up here tonight and gave $1 or $5 or $20 or $50 or $100 or $1,000 or $20,000 or $10,000 or $5,000 or $25,000 that we may, hallelujah, put this gospel over that invention and take it right up to the gates of hell and take it right into the gates of hell itself and tell them that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Church, quit fighting. Church, quit quarreling. Church, quit fussing. And let's lift up that bloodstained banner of Jesus Christ and tell the world Jesus saved. I want the evil one to hear this. I want the prince of darkness to hear this. Every hold he ever had on even one human being was broken in Gethsemane and Calvary and the resurrection. Glory. Hambasukilibabatanda. Not a sin that's not washed, paid for. No wonder a man that was so on drugs and alcohol that his mind was gone. They kept him in a cage like a dog. And they would put a noose about his neck. And crawling on his all fours, he would yelp like a dog and bark, demon possessed. And they would laugh at God's creation, barking like an animal. I'm talking about the power of this gospel. Preacher, you're a fool. If you stand up and talk about Plato and Socrates and Aristotle. And one day this gospel got through to that alcohol-numbed brain, to that demented soul. And the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ penetrated that numbed mind. I'm talking about this gospel. And he stood up on his feet. And he wrote, "Amazing grace, how sweet that sound that saved
a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. John Newton wrote it, was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fear relieved. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. I'm talking about a gospel so powerful it can change your heart, change your life, turn hate into love, turn sin into salvation, turn hell into heaven, turn death into life. I'm talking about this salvation that is greater than our little pipsqueak churches, greater than our little pipsqueak preachers, greater than our little pipsqueak choirs, greater than our little pipsqueak religion. He is greater. Sit there smirking behind that TV set and say, Swaggart, you're not so hot. And you are right. But he is hot. Me drink this cup if there is any other way. Talking about the price of surrender. Every sin was in that cup. Every sin was in that cup. Then he said, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. And when he said it, hell was whipped. Whipped. The cup contained our sin. The cup contained his separation from the Father. He had never been separated from the Father. He said, I'm in the Father and the Father's in me. But from 9 o'clock in the morning till 3 o'clock in the afternoon, God would pull the blinds and the earth would turn dark. I can't explain what I'm about to tell you. I don't understand it. Maybe geologists would know, or seismologists or somebody, but I don't understand it. Earthquakes, when they happen, the fissures are vertical. The earth opens up vertical. Cracks appear, and no power is able to stop it. But the earthquake that happened when Jesus died at Calvary, the cracks were horizontal. To my knowledge, the only time in history it ever happened. Horizontal. From 9 o'clock in the morning to 3 o'clock in the afternoon, he hung on the cross and was separated from the Father. You may say, well, that's not much. Oh, he had never been separated from the Father. I want to tell you this. I've seen some rough days, and so have you. But I've never been separated from the Father. Glory to God. And if you don't understand that, you don't even know John 3:16. And I'm not separated, and you aren't either, once you accept him. Because Jesus experienced that for us. And there are 6 hours there, from 9 to 3, 6 hours. Six is the number of man. Man. Incomplete. Insufficient. But this man was the only pure man and perfect man that ever lived. He was the consummate man, the man, Christ Jesus. When they mention Mohammed Tyson or whatever his name is, what did I say? Oh, Mike Tyson. Oh, yeah. Oh, incidentally, Muhammad Ali's changed his name back to Cassius Clay. Hallelujah. And I'm not going to cut this out of the tape unless he tells me, but he's accepted Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. Hallelujah. But brother, when they talk about heavyweight champions in hell, the name that Satan trembles is Jesus Christ. The man, Christ Jesus. Glory to God. The man, Christ Jesus. Glory, 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 glory. When he walked out of that tomb, he walked out. He didn't limp when he walked. He wasn't crippled when he walked. He walked out of there victorious forevermore over sin, over death, over hell, over the grave. And when he walked out, I walked out with him. The man, Christ Jesus. And one day he's coming back. He's coming back on a silver cloud from glory. He's gonna take me away. I'm looking now for the signs of his returning. Just you, Thomas, not the rest of you. Come out here, bring that mic, Thomas. Won't be long until that wedding day. He's coming back on a silver cloud from glory. He's gonna take me away.
Yes, yes, yes.
I'm looking now You know what that old Statue of Liberty, the old lady, is doing in New York Harbor? It's, I'm looking now for the signs of his returning. Won't be long, it may just be today. Glory to God! Hallelujah! 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 And when he comes back, he's coming back without sin, under salvation, crowned King of Kings.
kings and Lord of lords. He's coming back without sin. Without sin. What does it mean? It means no more sin. No more sin. No more devil. No more Satan. No more Lucifer. No more demons. No more hell. He's coming back on a silver cloud from glory. He's gonna take me away. I'm looking now for the signs of his return. Won't be long, it may just be, give me a red light, today.
Hallelujah.
Glory. Glory to God. Joseph, pick up that trumpet, please. It's the reason I like a trumpet. God says when I get it ready, and it's almost ready. It's almost ready. The man Christ Jesus is standing at the door right now. And some of you think Gabriel's going to blow that trump. God's going to blow it. It says the trump of God. You're blowing a horn, Joseph and Steve and the rest of you, that God blows. Very, very soon. I like the way Andre Crouch said it. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Joseph, blow that trumpet. Hallelujah! Glory to God! Glory to God! Hallelujah to the Lamb! Sing it, choir!
Soon and very soon, we are going.
I asked the Lord just then. I said, Lord, how do I give this altar call? He said, first of all, there is joy in heaven over every sinner that repenteth. And let me tell you something. We're shouting tonight, but there's no shouting in heaven to the extent because we're shouting. It is an echo of what they're doing, but they're not shouting because we're shouting. We're shouting because they're shouting. But the thing that will make heaven shout on earth, earth make heaven shout, is when a person comes to Jesus. Now he said, there are some here that have not allowed me to take their sins. They're still holding to them. And if they'll come, I'll take every sin. I'll cleanse every stain because it's already paid for. All they have to do is come get it. Now I'm going to ask something that's hard. I mean very hard. And I need hundreds of you in your heart to whisper a prayer. I haven't asked for a show of hands. I've asked for nothing of that nature. I'm just asking the Holy Ghost right now to reach out to you and convict you. And if there is one sin or a thousand sins in your life, he said, tell them if they'll come. Instantly, they will be washed away. And they're going to sing it just as I am, without one plea. And if there is a person here, you notice what I said. I don't care if you're a Christian. I don't care if you're a backslider. I don't care if you're an unbeliever. I don't care who you are. There's a sin there. He's telling you, take care of it tonight. It's already done. All you have to do is come. They're going to sing it now. And I want you to come. This is what he told me to do. Sing it, please.
Just as I am.
Sense it, can't you feel it? Yuba Television, please, I want you to look at me for a moment. I'm smiling because the greatest news you could ever hear, you've just heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, and he loves you so much. I'm going to pray now with the scores of these here at camp meeting at Family Worship Center that have come down these aisles. And I'm going to pray with you too. This is your day, your night, your moment, your hour of victory. I don't care who you are. Every sin is washed away if you will only accept it. Now right there in that room, would you bow your heads, please? And you hear, and I want you to repeat it after me, and Donnie will help you. And let us pray. Hallelujah. Dear God in heaven.
Dear God in heaven.
I come to you.
I come to you.
I am helpless.
I am helpless.
I cannot save myself.
I cannot save myself.
I cannot rid myself of this sin.
I cannot rid myself of this.
I am asking you today.
I am asking you today.
Break the chain.
Break the chain.
Set me free.
Set me free.
Give me eternal life.
Give me eternal life.
You said in your word.
You said in your word.
Romans chapter 10.
Romans chapter 10.
If we would confess,
if we would confess
with our mouth,
with our mouth,
the Lord Jesus,
the Lord Jesus,
and believe in our heart,
and believe in our heart
that God raised him from the dead,
that God raised him from the dead,
we would be saved,
we would be saved.
Right now,
right now,
with my mouth,
with my mouth,
I confess,
I confess
the Lord Jesus,
the Lord Jesus.
In my heart,
in my heart, I believe
that God raised Jesus,
that God raised Jesus
from the dead,
from the dead,
and he is alive,
and he is alive.
Right now,
right now, I accept
the Lord Jesus Christ,
the Lord Jesus Christ,
as my eternal Savior,
as my eternal Savior.
I am washed.
I am washed.
I am cleansed.
I am cleansed.
I am sanctified.
I am sanctified.
I am justified.
I am justified.
I am saved.
I am saved.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. And I want you to write me. We've sent out over 4 million of these. This copy has your name on it. Postage paid, free of charge. Write me and tell me what Jesus did for you. Oh, happy day when Jesus took my sins away. Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, happy day.
We give God all the praise and glory for those of you by television who just received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. To receive your free copy of the booklet, There's a New Name Written Down in Glory, simply write to the address on the screen and ask for offer number 524.
Call now for your free pair of Cross and Dove pins. They're a great reminder to you and others of the redemption of the cross and the power of the Spirit. For your free pins, call 504-768-7000 now.
We hope that you've enjoyed this message. For further information and to discover other sermons, visit us at ChristianSermonsOnline.com.